Today I'm going to continue our sermon series called God's Unconditional Love. Now, last week I talked about God's unconditional love and I had to cut my sermon short because we have so many things going on in this church and I have to be done in 1 hour. And so today I want to continue talking about God's love. Now, how many of you know that every human being on this planet Earth wants to be loved? Amen? There's nobody here who would say, I don't care if I'm loved. I'm okay with nobody liking me. No, maybe we don't want the whole world to love us, but guess what? We do want at least some people to love us. And we also want some people to love us unconditionally. Amen? Today I want to talk to you, what is unconditional love? And Tupac has a song about unconditional love, but we're not going to show that. It's a love regardless of one's actions and beliefs. It's the love that separates a person from behavior. It's the love that loves no matter what. Unconditional, forever. Doesn't matter what you do or you don't do. It has no rules. It has no laws that you, if you follow this rule, I'll love you. If you don't, I won't. Unconditional love. Something that's as close as I can say that close on this earth to unconditional love is maybe mother's love for the child. Okay? And before I go completely into my message, I want to give you four points. One of those points is this, that every person on earth has four basic human love needs. Listen to me. Every person on earth has four basic human love needs. You have all four of them. I don't know if you know about it. And unless they are fulfilled by at least three, we feel unfulfilled. Let me explain to you what those four are. The first love, and that's very important love. If you don't have this love in your life, you might feel unfulfilled, uncompleted. You might feel like there's something missing. And that's your mother's and your father's love. Kids who grew up as orphans sometimes feel like they missed out on something. Okay? So we need our father's and our mother's love, our family love. How many of you know that's important? If we don't have that, we're miserable. We need our family love. Second love that we really need is the love of our friends. Amen? We need friends. If you don't have any friends, you're called a loner. Right? And we're worried about you. Why don't you have any friends? Why are you alone? You know, why do you like sitting and playing video games by yourself? I mean, you know, get some friends. And as parents, if we don't see that our kids are making friends, guess what? We try to push them. Why don't you make some friends, little Johnny? No, I'm just kidding. Our worship pastor has a son named Johnny. Or little Alex Jr. or whatever it is. And so we want friends. We need social. And so you can have great family, right? But have no friends. And guess what? Something's missing. You're not complete 100%. Amen? So that's the second type of love. Love number three is the love of opposite sex, right? You can have great friends. You can have a great family. But guess what? If you don't have nobody loving you of opposite sex, guess what you feel like? Am I a loser? Is something wrong with me? Am I a loner? What's going to happen to me? Am I ever going to get married? Is anybody going to love me? We need that type of love, right? And then the fourth type of love, and this is the love of all loves. It's the love that sustain all of these loves is the foundation for all loves is God's love, unconditional love. Now, you can have all three loves fulfilled and still be miserable. You can have a great family. You can have great friends. You can have great lover, right? And people sometimes end up still missing something. What is missing in their life? And you would think sometimes looking at a person, you have great family, you have great friends, everybody likes you, you have a beautiful wife or a beautiful husband, and it's not enough. People start looking for something else. People start looking for more. Because these three loves, although they're good, and without them, we're kind of miserable. With this, without this fourth love, God's unconditional love, the basis of all loves, the foundation of all loves, we feel incomplete. What I want to say is this, that God's love is so big, God's love is so unconditional, that I would dare to say that if you have His love completely, you won't really, now we need Him. On earth, we need all these loves, but you can survive without all three of them. You can have His love. If you truly know that love, if you truly experience that love, God's love. One time, as a teenager, well, maybe not a teenager anymore, as a young adult, about 22, 23 years old, I was driving out of my mom's house, and we had a big fight. Me and my mom clashed sometimes, you know. Not anymore. We're getting older. I'm getting older. She's getting older. No energy. But me and her used to clash so much. And I was driving out of her house, and we had another argument about something stupid, you know. Just, I had it my way. She wanted her way, and she was right because she was older. And I was right because I was younger, and I knew it all. And as I was driving out, I felt so unloved. See, we say that mother's love is unconditional. It's as close to unconditional. But I know mothers who abandon their children. I know a family. I'm not talking about you guys because I'm going to talk about people out of state that I know. I know a family out of state that a mother who has, I think, three children, great family, loving husband who works hard. She left the kids because she said, I just didn't have enough fun. I need to go and have more fun. I want to spend more time with a boyfriend and then second one and third one. And for that, she left her kids. We know mothers that drown their kids. So mother's love, although it's as close as possible to unconditional love, is still not unconditional love. Dad's love the same. How many of you heard of a story? I think it's in Oregon. A man terrorized his children and then blew the house up. That happened not so long ago. And then they found that he actually hurt him before he blew him up. And they don't know where the mother is because she disappeared. And he said, if I can't be with them, I guess I'll kill him. That's such a selfish love. If I can't have you, you can't live. Boom, boom. Or hatchet. Right? That's even our parents' love is sometimes. Come on, parents' love is temporary. Eventually, one of your parents is going to die. Your friends, either you or them, will move away, or you be friends for a season maybe, and then the next season you're done being friends with. It happens. Life just takes different courses. You got this job, they got this job, and then you don't see eye to eye anymore. Your friends became a liberal, you became a conservative, and you don't like each other anymore. Right? Or whatever happens. Love of a mother is temporary because eventually people lose their mothers. Love of a friend is way temporary. Love between spouses is also temporary. That's why we say this temporary marriage that God gives us. Marriage is not forever. It's forever here. But once you go to heaven, you're not going to be married anymore. Marriage is only on earth, people. We live in a world where marriage is only last 72 days. Kardashians, come on. Right? Suddenly they get married and 72 days later, they say he wants her to move to Minnesota, which I don't know if I would move to Minnesota, but it's cold up there. It's cold up there. And she says, no way. I'm like, did you guys even go through premarital counseling? Didn't you even discuss these things? He wants her to take his last name. She said, no way. No. He wants her to have kids and a whole bunch of mess. Marriages, over 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Now, I hope that your marriage will last. I pray that your marriage will last. But life happens. Life does happen. And so even when you thought that your spouse can love you unconditionally, no. All those three loves are somewhat conditional. Spouses, if your husband or your wife came to you and said, I don't love you anymore, how would you feel? You'd probably say, well, I love you still, but eventually you'd have to move on. Right? So these three loves are human love. They're limited. They can't fill you all the way. They are temporary. They only last for a period of time. They have an end time. And they are, most of the time, conditional. But every human has a desire to be loved unconditionally. And that's where God's love comes in. He wants to show you how much He loves you. That's why we're here today. That's why we have this series today. Is because God, through this preacher with an accent, wants to tell you how much He loves you. Bible says this, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. He gave Him to death, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that most humanity is not looking for God? We didn't look for God. We didn't love Him first. Bible says He loved us first. Notice, God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son. Well, some of you will say, well, I didn't ask Him to love me. I'm fine the way I am. Listen, my life is fine without Him. Why do I really even need Him? That's a legitimate question. I want to tell you a story I heard about a neighborhood, and this man lived in one house, and he had kids living next door. One time, he was driving back home from work, and as he turned into his street, he saw a house on fire. And he was like, but somehow he knew it was going to happen. It was the house of his neighbor's house was burning, where they had kids, where they had like five kids or something like that. But somehow he knew it was going to happen eventually, because he would go there once in a while and he would see them playing with matches and lighters. And he would say, listen, guys, don't play with matches because you could hurt yourself. And they would say, who told you to come here? We got this taken care of, sir. Go back to your house. You know, we don't need you. Mind your own business. That's right. We don't need you. And as he was driving closer, he noticed this house burning and he saw some kids outside, but he was sure that there was more inside. And although they didn't have great relationship as neighbors, because he was always trying to get in their business, and they were always thinking that he was just a nosy neighbor trying to tell him what to do, and they had the same rights in the street as he did. But as he drove, he parked his car on the street and ran inside the house, took his jacket, his suit jacket, put it over him, and ran inside looking for if there is anybody there. Parents were not home, so he ran to the second floor, and he found the youngest, the baby, and he went through the window, and there was people already there, so he threw the baby, and they caught out of the window, and somebody caught the baby on the first floor. And he saved the baby's life without the baby being burned. And himself, he somehow got out of the window and jumped down, hurting his ankle, you know, but he got the baby saved. He actually, after looking at himself, he found that his hair was burned on his arms. And his eyebrows and maybe a little bit of top of his hair, but he got them saved. Now, the question is, what made this man go and risk his life to save a family who said they don't need him, they don't want him? Mind your own business, old man. We're doing just fine. We don't need you. See, that action was not just being a hero, because he could have risked his life. He could have been burned himself. He could have died himself. It's the glimpse that seeps through humanness. Through humanity, it's the little glimpse of that unconditional love of God. See, God is the same way. We told them we don't want you in our life. Nobody really wants God in their life. We can find something else to do with our life. But notice, God so loved the world. We didn't ask Him saying, God, please come and rescue us. He says He did it because of love. The reason the old man saved that baby out of that burning house is because he had the glimpse of that godly, unconditional, agape type of love. That's what God does. See, He doesn't care when you say, like Bruce Almighty. How many of you have seen that movie? When everything is going bad, He said, smite me, almighty smiter. How many of you know that part? I tried to find it, but they copyright written it so good I couldn't put it on the video. I wanted to show you that. But in that movie, sometimes we say, if you're real, why don't you strike me? Hold on. What? God loves you. If a child says, if you're stronger than me, why don't you, let's have a duel, with a dad. Dad would say, come on, let's not go there. Let's not do that. Amen? So God wants you to know that He loves you. Listen to this. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. God loves you unconditionally. Let me read this. Isaiah 49:5 says this. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written you on the palm of my hands. So God is saying to us, yes, mother can forget you. Not most of the time, but there's times. Friends will move away, forget you. Even the closest spouse can sometimes forget you. But God says, I will never forget you because I have wrote your name on the palm of my hands. How many times do you see palm of your hands? Every day? That's how much God thinks of you. Bible says, I have thoughts about you, says the Lord. God is sitting in heaven right now, although He has other business probably, running the universe and many universes probably. He's sitting and thinking about you. That's how much He loves you. Some of you think, well, okay, He loves me, but what does that change in my life? That's a good question. Because let me just bring it back to human love. Let's say I loved Tanya and she didn't respond to my love. How much fun would we have together? Not much. If a couple, a boy loves a girl and the girl does not respond to that love, there's no first date. There's no first note. There's no first embrace. There's no first kiss. Help me out. Yeah, somebody loves me. That's great. I feel good. And maybe that's how you're feeling today. God loves me and that's all good. I know Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But listen, you won't experience the fullness of benefits that brings. Have you ever been in love? And the person responds to you with love? And how you know they like you now? And how you start feeling it on a whole nother level? It's like a critical mass happens. When God loves you, and then you respond to that love, explosion happens. Different benefits happens in your life. All His promises start coming to pass in your life. You begin to grow in that love, Bible says. See, it's one thing that God loves you. It won't do you, Jack. It won't do you any good knowing that God loves you. Unless you respond to that love. And God says, the first commandment in the Bible, it says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Why does God command it? Not for His sakes. It's not for him. It's not to trap you. It's not to make you, or if you don't love him. No, no, no. Because he knows. When you respond with love, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, you will experience the love that humanity is looking for. So many people go to drugs and alcohol looking for love. And God says, I can't be the lover of your soul. I can love you unconditionally, but you have to respond. You have to come to me and say that, because am I right? If you love somebody and they just don't love you, there's no benefits of that. Both people are actually suffering. And God loves you. And today, just like in that video, the guy wanted to hear that his wife said, I love you too. How many of you women, when you tell us on the phone, I love you, and we were with our guy friends, and we're like, uh-huh, you too, bye-bye. Who are you with? I love you. I love you. Amen? Amen. So God wants to hear that you love him too. That's why he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Many of you really can never experience the fullness of God unless you respond to him. Unless you begin to think about him as he thinks about you. Unless you begin to pursue him as he pursues you. Some people look at Christians and think they're crazy. Just like we look at drug addicts and we say, well, you're crazy. Because, listen to me. Just the same that people find in drugs, a true believer can find in God. I was watching the football game, the Super Bowl. I was watching that and maybe I'm not into football, but I didn't feel it. I thought I'll feel. You know how everybody's talking about football, and you're like, oh, it's going to be great, and then it comes, and like, disappointing. Not that my team lost or anything, but how many of you know that football game can only give you this level of love? Right about here, maybe over here. Even if your team wins. Really? But guess what? What you can experience with God, and I'm a witness to that. I'm not talking to you from what I heard, but I'm a witness to that. His love is like to the ceiling. That's how big. Bible says, how high is your love? How deep? How wide is the love of God? It surpasses all understanding. Everybody wants it. Everybody wants to feel it. My kids, and I love my children, you know, they're getting big, 7 and 8, and I'm almost done. And at the end of the day, my kids have this habit. They run around, they play around with their friends, they do their own thing. But at the end of the day, they all come and want to sit around me and want to hear that I love them. And you know what I do? I hug them and I spend time with them and they just become like these little cats, you know, like loving cats, you know, or teddy bears. Like the whole day they could like not need you. But at the end of the day, they come to you and give you that hug. That's kind of reminds me of God's unconditional love, how much he loves us, how much he wants to, you know, that relationship. And you know what? Sometimes when you live your life and you're like, what's life all about? And you hug kids, your own kids, and you love them. It fills you up. It makes you feel peaceful. It brings you that inner peace. Makes you feel safe. There's no expectations, you know, just pure, unconditional love. If you put all of your trust in these three loves that I told you about, family, and you should put trust in your family love because you need that. But just know that it's not going to be enough. If you put it in friends, you need friends. You should have friends, but just know that it's not going to be enough. You need a husband. You need a wife, you know, if that's your need. But just know that that's not going to be enough. And you know what? Some people demand love from their parents, and parents cannot give them anymore. Some people demand love from friends, and they, what is that called? When they smother the friends, you know, because they want so much love from one source, they can't give them love. Complete love. You know what I mean? We love our friends, but we can't love them with God's love type thing, you know? We can't replace, you can't replace God's love with friends' love. That's when you become over-possessive. Okay? Some men or women come to their spouses and say, "You give me love." They can't give you that much love. They can love you, but I think you're looking for something else. I think you're looking for something eternal. I think you're looking for something that will last forever. I think you're really looking for God's love. And He is here calling you. Notice you didn't seek Him. He sought you out. He was looking for you. He came to die for you. And He's saying, "I love you." Last scripture I'm going to read. Does God love Hitler? Does God love Saddam Hussein? I know they're dead. And does God love Saddam Osama bin Laden? Well, listen to what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. And we're going to be done. You have heard the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, this is the words of Jesus to His disciples. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. Listen to this. For he gives His Son light both to evil and good. And He sends rain on the just and unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Does God love even bad people? Does God love a thief on a cross? Both of them? Yes, God loves everybody. Now, next week we're going to talk a little deeper about this because there's some things that I heard a last story, and I'm going to be done, a quick story, of a George Washington, and his soldiers captured a traitor, and traitors were condemned to death. And he was condemned to death, but then George Washington said, "Bring him in and sit him at my table and let him eat my food." Eat my food, and then, so God does love you, but if you don't respond, that's next week. Okay?